Okay, I'd like to thank Joe. I thought that was an excellent lead into our conference. And so starting right in. In December or so, we sent out a survey to all the mappers in all the counties. And I thought we got a very good response. And one of it was interesting. As much as I tried to make them clear yes and no type of questions, there still seemed to be a huge variety of answers to different kinds of answers to my questions, and it just shows that the county, that the people in the counties still look at information very differently from each other. And you know, just talking about how many parcels are created and people's workflows and how people count them, which seemed to be like, well, we'll get a good steady answer, didn't turn out that way at all. And everything, we got things really across the board. And
is this your results? Or?
This is, yes, I'm sorry, Greg.
That's okay.
So we got responses from about.
Is this which up?
Presentation.
Oh, I'm sorry. So we had that one else. Okay.
I'm sorry, yeah. So well, we'll talk about the one that's up here. These are all the counties that were able to make it to this conference. I thought we had a good turnout. And if we we go to the next one.
What is the color grading show?
color grading on the last slide, basically, it's mapped up against the number of mappers.
Oh, okay.
So just an indication of the size of the mapping departments in the counties that have shown up. So this particular slide basically said that this is the number of parcels that you have per page. So it was I thought it was kind of interesting. That wasn't able to make any huge judgments out of it, but can anybody in the back see the numbers? I suppose.
I can barely see the numbers.
Yeah. Somebody gave you the thumbs up in the back, so I guess you guys must be all black.
You'll be able to see this more.
You'll be able to see it. You'll be able to see it later, but it's really an indication of the size of the parcels. Gives an indication of the size of the parcels in the county. When you get down to LA, it's 34, Ventura, it's 30, and of course you get up into the tens in some of the upper counties, and the next one. So this is now just a quick introduction to throwing in a few statistics that weren't even necessarily in our survey, but county population per that page. I think that that's always kind of also interesting. Unfortunately, again, can't see the numbers here, so I guess I should have made them large. This is the number of tax parcels that that each county reports to the DOE. It sort of is an indication of how many parcels you have. We have LA at 2.4 million, and Santa Barbara County has 128,000. Ventura has 252,000. San Luis, 145,000. How many? This is how many parcel maps each of county has. We've got 4,300. Los Angeles has 103,000. San Luis Obispo has like 5,000. I guess you know, it's easier to read from here than it is back there. Ventura has 7,400. I guess I would say now. County populations. Mono County, 10,500. Los Angeles County, almost 10 million. San Diego County, it's 3.2 million. So, anyways, very good. Excuse my chart. This is the population of Santa Barbara County from 1900. This is the population of Santa Barbara County in 1900. So we had about 25,000 people in our county at that point. Now we have like 425,000 people. And you can sort of see the jumps that happened in that time. As a comparison, we did a couple of the counties next door, Ventura's. They started out in 1900 with approximately 50,000, and now are at 1.5 million. And lastly, the next one, San Luis Obispo. I guess they got off to a little slower start. they also started about 20,000 and reached, but now we've reached 275,000. Survey results. We've got the whole data, got the database that we all send to everybody to see. This is just sort of the list of questions, and my question to the survey was, what's the number of mappers that you had in the assessor's office? And of course, the thought was, okay, how many number of people mapping? Of course, we got some came back with the number of that had people doing deed reading, other activities. So the numbers we got back in the survey were considerably different than what showed with the DOE. That was one of those is that I wouldn't want to say how many mappers there are in each county after going through the whole exercise. How many have GIOs? Through a screen, a little over half have a GIO in their county. One of the questions is do you want to give your GIS department more direction? We just recently lost our GIO, but we felt we were always trying to give them more direction. And some counties work really well when they have a GIS staff, and some other counties were wishing they were going in a very different direction. It comes down to one of the questions was, does everybody keep paper maps at the front counter? And surprisingly, I think that about a little over 50 of the counties still keep paper maps at their front counter. There are about five or six now that have just computer screens and up at their front counters for people to see assessor's maps. And the history, how many people keep digital scans of the retired assessor's maps? Ours have been sitting on a counter for 15 years, and we keep talking about that we're gonna get those scanned. Ours are still sitting there.
Do it.
So again, it was surprising to us to find how many probably more than 3/4 of the counties have actually scanned all their assessors' maps back to 1960.
How many of you actually go over to that pile and look through them to look at the maps?
Never.
How often do you want to?
Well, we maybe not that often, and that's why we haven't done it. But we also, when people do come to the counter, we have a paper working map that shows all of our changes, and we just give copies of those to people that want to see past histories.
Oh, so you have other ways of seeing
it. We have other ways to see it. I think that showing the old maps, the distributed maps would be better, and I think we're going to start that scanning process early. Same question, how far back? Surprising how many people have gone all the way back to 1960s. One of the questions was, how many DIMMs, are DIMMs becoming less important? Really in the question of partially in the question of GIS, but also partially as we were kind of going, our interpretation of the mapping standards, it was that you show bearings. We thought we should be showing all bearings and distances on the map, and found a surprising number of counties don't show all their bearings on their paper assessor's maps, and it's the question is like, what's the importance of that? Of course, the GIS is sort of like, getting dimensions. And those annotations on GIS maps is a lot more work, and is what really keeps a lot of counties from transitioning over from AutoCAD to GIS. It's just they don't want to have to change all those annotations and that's why we don't where no one's in any hurry to try to do what all in a GIS format.
So is the consensus that it's not less important, or?
I think that the consensus of the people that have them, that they are very important, and they won't want to go to GIS until really that issue is resolved, and we can find better ways to annotate those lines, we'll just say automatically. The counties that don't think it's important mainly are the ones that have already gone to have transitioned over to a GIS, and I guess to me it was that group that are still doing AutoCAD, I think that for them it will be an easier psychological change to just go to an all electronic GIS mapping end product by if they're not set on having to have all those bearings on the maps. NAT E3 turned out a few of the counties that were experimenting with showing paper maps aligned in a NAT 83 format, so a slight shift just in the sense of a way of starting to say, people might be sort of looking at maps and GIS shows their maps in this format, and you're saying, well, maybe we're introducing this concept by showing a few maps oriented to adding three north scale grid scale grid scaled, but no one else seemed to be thinking like we were. Slack. was anybody doing 3D census pages? LA certainly is. There were a few other counties also that were doing it. Mostly, as exhibits on their map, on that map, or on a different exhibit page, showing things in 3D. We've got a couple high rises now that are being broken up by 35-year leases that is uncomprehensible on 2D map. So we're going to have to start doing a few of those. I had a question on the coastline survey. I thought it was, and it came up when we were cleaning up along the coast, and we said, well, so we have an aerial that we think is positioned really well with a lot of control. And should we be using the high tide line from our recorded surveys that were done in 1927, 1935? Which line should we be showing on our GIS maps and our base map? Should we be showing what's on the on recorded survey? What is shown on those 1927, 1935 map, or should we be showing what the coastline looks like currently? And by and large, we thought we should be showing what it is currently. There were differences of 50, 60, 100 feet between the high tide surveys from the 20s and 30s to what we have now. Most of the county seemed to disagree with us.
Did the aerials, were the aerials floated? Aerials floated to the point where you could see the high tide.
Yeah, I mean, in comparison, there's the beaches were usually about 50 feet in most, especially in this area. They were basically cliff type areas, and the high tides really come up within, I think, 5 to 10 feet, if not at the actual cliff lines. And I think that there's very few places where there was a wide beach where we had to worry about where the actual mean high tide line was. I think we're probably within, 5 or 10 feet doing it by the aerial. And certainly, the 1927 one was 100 feet out into the ocean, and the tides aren't. So I know ours is more accurate in a sense. Again, most of the county said no. They were going to stick with the 1927. Yeah.
I would tend to agree with your assessment of it, and add the comment that seems to me that what we show on our systems should be what's most relevant to the current assessment.
And that was my initial one. I'm not sure. I think there is some argument just be saying we want to stay with the record, and the record says use your recorded surveys of your coastline.
Yeah, but you're talking about an eternally changing phenomenon there.
We think you were.
That's the source of the argument, I guess.
Yeah, that's the source of the argument. So anyway, something for all of, for those who have a coastline, but then also also applies to a number of the bay and also Tahoe. So
and river edges. Parts of river edges of similar type.
Yep. Involved in aerial acquisitions. We threw that in because again, luckily, we got to be very involved in our aerial acquisitions. We found very few mapping departments in other counties were able to. Have any input really at all into their aerials and maybe how many control points are going to get placed when they pull it that and the color scheme that it comes out. Hardly any other counties had any real input in that those decisions at all. We put in recorded maps on the county internet. We, about a year ago, got a good relationship with the county surveyor, and they scanned all of their recorded maps and have them on the internet. And it has made a tremendous change in the surveyor's workload by not having to hand out recorded maps. The loss of revenue for people coming in was minuscule to the amount of time and effort they were really putting in doing it. And for us to have all the recorded maps at the click of a button now, rather than having to go to Tubbs or us trying to collect some of them, that kind of thing. I wanted to say it was it's made a huge difference in the amount, in our ability and our desire to do more investigation. It's sort of like, well, I'm not going to wander down the hall to pull out some map. So now it's just at your fingertips. My point on it is that if you can if you can talk to your surveyors and get that going as a project, your surveyor nor you will be disappointed at all. The next one was situs addresses. Just in discussions last night, it I think it can be a topic for discussion. You know, who takes a, who do you check your CITES addresses? You know, can people in public come in and say, you know, no, that's my, not my address. It's this, and does the assessor change it? You know, that's how our county worked in, until about 7 years ago, and we said, no, we're, we are now only going to put in what we get from the addressing agencies. And of course, you know, we, the decision becomes as a headache. You know, the public is irritated that they can't get our address changed. We have a, Ron will give us a presentation tomorrow on some of it. And why, as an example, I guess, in our county, we think that there's at least 10 different CITES address databases floating around. You know, the post office has one. Our fire department, who in the county, who is the main distributor of addresses, they contracted due for about five of the cities and the unincorporated area. But they actually have three different databases themselves. So they have somebody who does just the addresses, and then, yes, Ron may be raising his hand saying, don't go into this.
Let's clarify, the county fire has four.
Essentially,
he's got four, plus,
and
then there's
definitely some. I guess maybe I'm starting to go through this a little too slow, I think, for my time period. But I guess maybe we may have to stop with just seeing if there was any who does partial area calculations? We charge for it. Seems like we get quite a number of them. Seems like a lot of other counties don't. I think it has something to do. I think it has something to do with the price per square foot of just our residential property here in the Santa Barbara area.
Just call go ahead for a fee.
Yep.
We charge.
I didn't hear the question.
You said something good. Yeah, there are some issues with it, with coming without not being a licensed surveyor and following a parcel area.
Yeah, grocery.
But
we're talking about workflow having to do with verifying legal descriptions. And we're sort of like, oh, where is it going? So, you know, in other words, we use past deeds a lot to ID properties. A lot, we have a lot of meets and bounds. If we can go back to one that's already been validated, and you have a five-page document, and the APN numbers are next to the paragraph of that parcel, it all gets a lot easier. We're looking at it like, okay, we have a legal description database that we can OCR, optical recognition, and I think that we're going to try to move in that direction. Questions were, you know, who marks up, who has scanned images that they can do markups on PDFs, and if they do they store them? That kind of stuff. It was kind of a huge variety. It seemed like maybe the questions were understood a little differently. Unfortunately, I have four more pages of these, so I won't. I'll just skip right real quickly.
Wow.
And let's get quickly. Let's go on to a couple of the slides. I'm sorry, it's full of the images.
Okay.
So green, who's working in that?
AutoCAD.
And basically, the yellow is those who either didn't answer the survey or didn't answer the question, or the few blanks. I didn't try to fill in the. I just tried to fill in the blanks. You'll have to fill them in yourself. So all the yellows are where we didn't get any information. And the blues are, we have to make your math not here. This was the green here is like, really is who's using ArcGIS maps. The yellow is we're not using it.
That's the other way around.
Pardon?
No.
The yellow is no. This one is who's using ArcGIS? And the yellow.
All the same scheme they last time.
That's good. So anyway, it's not next one. This was who's using a GIS and they're relate and do they have a GIO in their county? I guess there's very few that that are using GIS and don't have a GIO. I think that covers a number of questions on it.
We have a GIO position.
Pardon?
We have a GIO position. Anybody want the job?
Are you actively looking for one?
Well, they put out a notice, got about five interested candidates or five qualifying candidates, and then all five of them turned it down. So now they're going back and reviewing these specs, which our old existing GIO told them they better do before he ever left, and they ignored him.
Right now we're just sort of in open discussion on these survey results and keeping parcel history in a paperless environment. Does anybody we can go back through some of these items? This would be a time, one of those times that anybody has any topics they want to bring up. Yes.
Does the results from this survey are both available on CCMA website or will they?
They will be. The results, we're going to have a CD to send out, but we'll also.
Is it going to be on the website, or are we just going to send a CD?
We're going to send out a CD, but yes, we can put the results on the website. If it's okay with you. Yes?
I didn't notice in the survey was the question of whether you charge for GIS data.
I'm trying to remember if I put that in. I think I thought it was. I think I left that question out. I'm thinking, wondering if it might be a sore point. How much of a sore point? I
think there may be only be a few that are now.
Is there any big county here that that's I guess we know a few. Any counties that charge for the basements? We just $70. We charge $70. More than the cost of making a CD. Yolo County does.
Yuba County, yeah. We charge $2 for the basements.
And in Orange County, in LA. LA says they don't, but
$6.
That's right, you're lower. And what is Orange County doing now?
It depends who you go to for the data. If you go to the survey department, you won't want to buy it because it's too expensive. We have a base map that we'll sell that shows the parcels on it, or the grids, but it's like $22, $17. But it's just a paper map. You're not going to get digital from us. If you want digital data, then you're going to pony up some dollars.
Take that up with the chiefs, you guys.
I think that there's just a few counties, I believe, that are still charging, and I think that it was sort of, we mentioned when we were lowering ours was $600 for a while, and we said, no, this is not worth it, and they're going, what? I said, well, There's only four people that are buying it for $600, every year. So I think the loss of this $2,400 for the hassle that everybody's that it creates, just the images of your county, we convinced them it wasn't worth that for to collect. Those four $600 checks a year, and we give it out for free. And whether we do have UCSB, we count hits on our website and downloads and that sort of thing. But UCSB has a very big GIS department, and so every time they have to do a homework assignment, they're downloading our parcel map, so our parcel count doesn't really count, I think. We try to track it a little, I think like I said, 9/10 of them came from UCSB. So. Any other comments? Yes?
Addressing
people
have addressing places, something like that. We now don't have that kind of problem about it. From that four different things they ever since you had to set something out, and then transaction document comes, the bank sees the difference in addresses, they don't process the document. So what any other time you want to share something that you can
So addressing. In case anybody didn't hear it, is the sort of a that that we're talking about is that there's a dilemma with addressing. The banks come in and says, we want to verify the address of this property, and of course, inevitably we have a different address than that bank has, and that was one of the things where we decided, hey, we can either ignore it and just put whatever in, or we could think that it's just as that we're doing a better service, and we only put in what that particular agency says, and we tell them, go talk. You have to go talk to the addressing authority.
Bank at all? You're not the authority. I don't understand that.
For those counties who haven't really transitioned and always have had a verified address, it's really hard to understand the other counties that are steeped in having to work on a public relations attitude and of course realtors and lenders, because the realtors listen to the lenders. There's a real customer service issue where they want to be helpful. to those lenders that call. And so that therein lies a real issue, I think, especially when you have a smaller county. Because we're constantly just, the lender and real estate agent may call four or five times, you know, trying to get us, you know, to change it after we told them each time, you know, go back to the city planning department and discuss it with them. You know, they'll send us a report, but they'll still just keep calling them. And they'll call mm-hmm. everybody else in the assessor's office. So it becomes a huge, keeping a stand. But again, I'm going to take Ron's whole speech away for tomorrow. any other, so more questions? I'm going back to the slides, so you better think that. You better start thinking.
Okay, then you'll go, have to go back and remember your page or four.
Who is it? You know, one of the questions is who uses Megabyte? And of course, there's about 20 counties, I think, that use Megabyte. One of the questions is that Megabyte has a maps module, who of those 20 counties uses Megabyte's maps module and tracking system? And I think there was only one or two counties, I believe, actually, that I could get information on that actually used their Megabyte.
Is that just the scan images button or whatever?
I don't know what that. I haven't ever seen their mass module, so I don't know. We've got a very comprehensive. It comes from my experiences. We have a very comprehensive mass module that runs through our assessor system that tracks where the map is, which mapper has it, which checker has it. You can look up. You can look up all the information, query on the deeds involved, the maps involved, all this situation, so we can really track workflow. We found that there's few counties that actually have a real comprehensive mapping and tracking program. Most are just tracking it in something that a small program that may have done in Access or Excel, that kind of thing. So we were. Part of that question was sort of like, okay, does a county have one that they've done themselves that other counties may want? There didn't seem to be much interest. I think there was always those issues of are you tracking or are you being tracked? So it sort of went by the wayside. How about page four? How do you save your partial history and reason to change? In our county, we're constantly trying to figure out how we're going to track the histories. We have mapping. We have assessors' pages and books in our map room that we make the changes in paper and keep a log of any problems that were on it. We also in AutoCAD we keep a layer of the previous parcels and any interim parcels. on a different layer. And so in each AutoCAD map, we keep a record of all those changes and those really those same notes. In GIS, we keep we have a changes layer in our GIS maps so that we can go back and see what the parcels look like before, and can also keep notes on it.
It makes you wonder how detailed you get into those change histories. We get a lot of questions about a particular parcel on the phone, and they ask, did Joe Smith really want to get rid of so-and-so by doing this percentage decrease in their mineral rights? And you're going, I don't know. Right. How are you supposed to know this? Right, like that. You say you got 275, 280,000 parcels. This is wonderful. And as to why, I'll get back to you. What else can you say?
Yeah, we feel like we have a huge duplication of effort in our history, and haven't figured, you know, it was sort of like what we used to keep the paper history with our paper maps. We just went to AutoCAD and said, well, in AutoCAD we'll be in AutoCAD, we'll be making maps in AutoCAD forever, and so we'll keep our history in AutoCAD. Then we realized that that was probably a transition, so we didn't give up doing it in paper, and we're keeping tracks of changes we do in GIS. We feel like it's a so if anybody thinks they have the answer, I know that ESRI is working on that as an answer, saying we were just talking about it last night, and it's the implication I got is that they have a partial fabric thing that's in kind of in a beta testing, and it seemed to be they're addressing that problem with, we're going to be so comprehensive and having you put in so much information on your partial histories that no matter what happens in the future, you'll have captured all the data you need. And of course, you know, we're going, well, you know, we want to put in a quarter of that information, because we're going to be willing to risk, you know, that we will leave some information out rather than fill in three quarters of all that information. So I think that's always one of the dilemmas is, you know, is how comprehensive are you going to be in keeping your history when the process is changing so quickly. So if anybody has any good answers to those questions, we'd love to hear it. It's a good forum for it. Would you like to see other counties list routines? That overwhelmingly answer for people doing AutoCAD was yes. Other than the counties maybe that are transitioning over to doing it in something else. On a CD, we're going to put out our list routines. I know I wanted to talk to Kern County about putting their list routines up. I know you do yours in a little different format than us now.
Yeah, well, that's interesting for us right now, because now that we've transitioned into this geodatabase world, we have chosen to keep AutoCAD because we actually do all of our, or most of our COCO work in it. We just don't use it to make the maps anymore. So, you know, whereas we used to have all these layer standards and most of the list routines we have were geared towards like annotating the map, and you know, now all that stuff's no use anymore. And the only list routines we really need is the COGO, the Traverse, which we originally got from you, and a few others that helps us do like geometric constructs and things like that. So, you know, and now all we need is really one or two layers, you know, the layer zero or one called Scratch or something, just to just to draw the basic line work on, because that line work is just going to get sucked right into the GIS, you know, and then the map will be made there in ArcMap. So,
what?
But we do have, we still have the whole toolbar is still full of all the custom tools in AutoCAD. And we probably still use most of them, except for those ones that were just mainly for making maps.
Yeah, there still are a number of one person shops out there who some of them are just still beginning to work in AutoCAD. And what's interesting to me is to find out the number of counties that still do pen and ink drawings or pen and ink changes. No, absolutely. As a matter of fact, one of the counties that's the second, third, fourth largest in our state still is doing some other changes in pen and ink. So. So there's certainly, nothing wrong. I mean, with doing it in pen and ink, you know, the rest of us, a lot that are putting raster are just showing on the pen and ink drawing inside an AutoCAD frame. Are only making it fuzzier than the original one anyway. So I think almost all counties are, in essence. Not that far in there in showing the end result. It's just the process of loss of talent. Nobody hires us mappers now for our artistic handwriting. they hire us how fast we can type instead. Do you have an internal GIS viewer?
What is that?
And the answer was everybody. Everybody has one, whether it's being done by a contractor or some department is keeping it up. We bring it up because we keep up ours. But we're using a very outdated program that's not being supported anymore, and we're going to have to change. But even the really small counties with one mapper, they usually have some department that still has an electronic viewer. Do you have a public GIS website? There's a lot of counties that do, at least half. Who maintains your GIS web map? We're fighting to get back control of our GIS. Internet. Our IT department sort of locked it up a little bit, and so we're kind of struggling with that. One of the questions for your website and your viewing software, and even your internal one, was does your viewing software do anything? The question is can you do any querying on your website? Can you make any changes other than just showing the parcels and an overlay? Can you query anything out of it? Very few counties had any ability to do any querying, what I couldn't get out of that was, do people think it's just too complicated, or what? I think it's
an interesting question that may, I think this is also growing, is as the more sophisticated your public is, everybody's ending up going to a website that will do some querying besides just show and layering. Next slide. Who built your GIS layer? Who maintains the GIS layer? Again, we're really lucky. We think we're lucky because we get to maintain our GIS base layer and feel like we have the what we have, I think, is a really good motivation to keep it up and changed and constantly make it better. I think that there's inherently, I think, in my opinion, more motivation in the assessor's office than there is in other departments. The GIS departments tend to want to spend their time doing other things besides working with line work. And we think that that with having it in your office, I think is a desire almost for everybody. Is there anybody who's winning a fight to get back and take over their base layer?
Hi,
Kurt.
Hi, Dan. Yeah. Yeah. We do all the updates for the layer and all the other departments, and on that base map, and create their layer. We keep a history of basically when we create a new parcel, we put it in there, keep the old parcel, with just the date and the number. That's it. So we have a layer of full parcels and calendar.
We're lucky. We had it, and I've always kept it. I know there's a number of counties that other departments have taken. They started it, and other departments have taken it over. I know that many mapping departments would like to have it or have it back. I think there's always a kind of a, you know, what can we do maybe to get it back? One came up last night. Who keeps dummy parcels in their GIS parcel layer? We currently keep dummy parcels for condo common areas. We have, you know, if there's a deed to an association, we put an ABN number on the common area. If there's no deed to an association, we don't make a parcel number out of it on our assessor's maps. So when we go to GIS, rather than have a blank area, we put in a fake parcel number, but unfortunately the data, it can't hold any data because it disappears each time we update. We have to any information we have to repopulate. So we're gonna make the change and give all those common areas a parcel number. At first, the appraisers were going, you're gonna have to list all those people, the 60 owners, you're going to have to put them in as the ownership. And we just said, no, we're just going to put in a statement on the ownership line that says, you know, all the owners of the condominium units are.
Creative thing.
We have the ability, maybe some counties don't have the process or ability to put zero value on parcels. We have the ability to put a zero parcel on it, and so it doesn't really create any more headaches other than getting the appraiser to understand that first time when it happens to one in their area. But we're starting to make that change. How many? I guess is there anybody, any other county that puts APN numbers on all their common areas? So quarter to a third, and so is there anybody that doesn't put any parcel numbers on any of their common areas?
We started to put APN numbers on it for about a 10-year period because we had pressure from other departments. But our mainframe system is so old that they couldn't handle the zero base value, and other agencies were using those APNs as special assessments. And then they would say, well, where's the, you know, who owns it, and where's the address, and how do I mail it out, all this assessment out. And so it became such a hassle that we wiped them all out again. So we just,
as your assessor said, we are in the valuation business. I knew it matters. We still work for them. And those are non-assessed values. Why bother? Whatever you're doing or anybody else is doing is a favor to some other entity that wants it for whatever reason, for netting and gets some debt. Let them do it themselves. Create a double assessment on whatever they want to call it. They can make a favor.
We find that since we're keeping up the base map, that we're constantly trying to wanting to keep some information in there, and certainly we can't leave blanks, so we have to have polygons. And then it's like, you know, the question of, you know, why does this polygon have no information? Or
we have all the parcels common areas there, and we have normal black polygons. So it depends on how you approach the design of your base.
I apologize. You know, basically, I think it is saying is that you know, we give each APN number an outline of the condominium unit and give it a parcel number, which then really does leave a blank. But if you do it differently, you don't have that problem.
That makes sense.
Yes.
We had a problem with the common areas, especially the levy. There were condominiums with the common areas, they ended up paying double levies, so we ended up waiting for those parcels. That creates some problems.
Okay.
We kind of got lucky when we designed our new system in GIS. In the past, yes, we have given APNs to common areas where we have a deed to an association, and then elsewhere there's no APN. And that's just kind of the way we did it in the past. So when we made our new system, we just kind of tried to design it to accommodate that practice, because we really weren't very sure how we really wanted that system to go. But we decided that for each unit in the condominium, we would go ahead and create that polygon that surrounds the whole common area, and then that polygon would be what takes on the APN of each unit. So for each unit, there's actually a stacked and duplicated polygon. You know, they're flattened on the 2D GIS, but that way when we do notification buffers, if it just clips the corner of that common area, every unit's going to get notified. And the side effect of that is that even if we decided to stop putting APNs on the common areas altogether, it doesn't matter, because there's still units in there, and that whole polygon is still represented in the database. So really, now it doesn't matter if we put APNs on them or not.
You could also make it a multi-part feature, too. The unit and then the outside parcel. Just make that single feature.
Yeah, we have geometry in there to represent the units, but it's basically just cartographic purpose only.
And they're approximately.
In other words, it'll print out on the assessor map, but when we generate polygons, those little units don't come out as separate polygons.
Okay. Right. Do you see your GIS layer as a future assessor's map? That's always a good question.
It has been for the last, 16 years in the economy.
But you have your paper assessor's map, though, also, huh?
Oh, we have 100,000 that we cannot change. But every new submission, in fact, just a single line that we have to change, we redraw the entire page. But still, we do build the pages out of the GIS database.
And I think that, I guess where my comment and sort of questions are is that using a line work is who envisions that soon you're going to be opening up a Google style map and zooming to your parcel, and if you want a paper copy, your parcel will be in the middle of the page. And it'll show the information.
You can check that right now. If you go to Bing and you start zooming in and you see the parcel lines, those parcels you see there within LA County are the RGS parcels. You go to Bing and Google, and we just send our parcels and they are on the RGS online. They're also in all the base maps. They fit pretty well.
One of my comments was that we're going to have assessor's maps. We may have them in PDF form and that sort of thing, but they're going to be around forever. And my thought is for us who is, it's not natural to get every bit of information that we get off of our iPhone. We still view the world with a paper map, in a sense. But there's a whole generation now that I hear the phone book comment, and who uses a paper phone book anymore? And I think I see it exponentially changing view of the paper maps that there's a generation of people coming up who aren't going to look at a map of the world with any concept of it being on paper. They're just going to see what they see, and are only going to be comfortable looking at it in a view from what as if they have Google. And I think that. My feeling is that pretty soon people will be viewing our stuff that way sooner than we may think. Seems like every time I bring this up, everybody sort of getting a lot of different views on that.
But yeah, I don't think so. For 95% of the applications that they're looking at that, it's not a bad idea. It's not a bad thing. It's hard for a cadastral mapper who's reading legals to think in those terms. But if you try to get outside your box, for most applications, that's a good thing. You're still going to need something to process a legal from. And I don't think GIS at this, the current GIS systems that I've seen out won't do that yet. So.
Right.
I think that we have a little conflict of ideas here. The reason is because the assessor maps, the 8.5 by 11 that we use, those things are used only within our office and for our specific work. You don't want to pull an iPhone and yeah, try to read the dimensions of your iPhone. Every year, my engineers have been asking, I want a larger screen. We started with 12 inches, now we have 24 inches or something. So that's not for real work. Yeah. You don't want to see, you don't want to play with assessor maps with all the dimensions and notes on an iPhone. That's not GIS. Doing really little, that's not GIS work. GIS work is when you pull up your drive and you see a property on the street. So you pull your iPad, click on your iPhone, type the address or the GPS point, and it will give you the assessor information. Owner's name, maybe values, or tax area, a few simple data set. That we are doing right now in LA. It's not for the public yet, but it will be coming soon. But you don't want to see assessor maps. We have all our assessor maps on PDF. They are updated weekly on our website, and every 2.5 hours internally in our intranet. So the old maps that were done hand-drawn are already in PDF. The maps that we're doing with GIS are converted immediately to PDF from our GIS system into our repository. That's what we can update it so fast. And still we produce a paper copy for the people that want to play with paper. So it is possible. You have to pick exactly where you want that application. So.
Okay. No other comment. No. No other comment out there. You know, on my side, one of the things is I think most county founders they do. 80% of our parcels are subdivision lots, our title transfer department has all those in a database, and they verify all those legal descriptions using that database, and so 80% of our valid deed verifications are done that way. So that leaves us with 20 that come to the mapping section, and I would say half of those we compare, at least half of those we compare to legal description that's in another deed without looking at the map. And so we've got, that leaves us with 10% of our deeds that we verify where we actually pull out the assessor's maps and run through them. And those, I think that, maybe another half of those, if we had a system of just having the legal descriptions or a way that they could electronically compare one legal description to another legal description, again, we may not, we would probably be looking at assessor's map even less. So our feeling sort of is not that far of a leap since we're only looking at our assessor's map for 5% of the deeds that come through. It's not that big of a leap to think that there's not another way final reason for keeping paper assessor's maps. Yes, Muriel.
Just keep in mind that different languages. We have a lot of bills that when the county runs out of land to subdivide, guess what? People are going to start splitting pieces of the empty lot, and then your deed is going to grow. So if you build based on these, are going to disappear. You're going to be in for a little bit.
Well, I don't think they will disappear. I do think they won't be dividing them by meets and bounds much. They will be dividing them by lots of tracts and condo units and that sort of thing.
What happened when you run out of land to subdivide. You would have to spare people as I said for the street, splitting lots in half. We've seen that, on new cities, and I said in the county, there were only like, something like 12 or 13 cities, new cities, as I said, working in the county. And we have seen cities that have landlocked, but they have no more land, and that's what they start happening. There was no activity before, no more land for subdivisions. That's why people start converting apartment buildings and condominiums. They start splitting their lots and merging with other lots and creating more condos. You would be in with a lot of
buildings because of the
price of salvage. Yeah. But I certainly, there is a certain amount of activity where people are finding that, and the cities are allowing ever smaller pieces maybe to be built on. So so any other comments? Yes.
Notice your topic of reporting and constructive notice. Is that one? What is constructive notice?
Constructive notice is in the recording world. Is the is if I come along and say, I bought this, I tell you that I bought this house from Joe, you have what's considered actual knowledge, and I show you the deed, you have actual knowledge that Joe gave me a deed to this property. If you don't if you hear from somebody else that that I purchased property from Joe, then it may not be actual notice. And then the next part of that, of constructive notice, is if the government, the counties have said, okay, we're going to record this deed, and as a way for you to, and you should know the system that if you want to know who really owns that house, Joe or I, you don't have to go to Joe or I. You can go to the recorder's office and get that information. And the law says it's constructive notice that says as long as they do record that, you have a constructive notice that activity has happened. The same, and which is the same thing with a death or another lien that goes in the newspaper. They said that constructive. If you put that somebody went bankrupt and you have to put that, and you put it in the newspaper, that's considered by law a constructive notice to anyone in the world that activity has happened. Yes?
Yeah, constructive notice is basically the act of making the information available to the public. But if the public takes advantage of it, it's not our responsibility, however. In this case, recording it, the information is now public information. It's constructive. Basically, it's a short version of the definition that you've made it available to the public.
And then, which led me into a little quick thing that we were posed for. We have somebody from Title Company coming in a while, and I was going to talk in a sense about that, sort of that beginning is sort of by English law, in terms of the transfer of property and the recording system. And I think I kind of went through it in that definition, but, you know, it's like, say, back in the 1200s, you know, guy decides, okay, you know, I own this piece of land, and now I want to sell it. And so somebody comes along and hands me these 20 gold pieces for my property. And it was like, okay, how do it? what do we do now? Neither of us can write. How are we going to do this transfer? And it's basically, well, we're just going to sort of stand out in the front, and we're going to symbolically say, I'm going to give you my house. And it's sort of like, well, whoever's in listening distance is now going to know that this person now owns it. And I was like, okay, that doesn't work so good. So I was like, okay, well, what are we going to do now? And I said, well, how about if we go into town and we stand by the water well in the middle of town and we announce that Joe is selling me this property so that everybody in town now knows that I own it instead of Joe. So that was like, okay, well, that works better. Now more people will know, and if there's any conflict, they could all be a witness to it. It's like, well, okay, so that's not the best. So it's like, okay, well, let's have a written piece of paper that proves it. And we'll keep that piece of paper as well. And I'll keep it under my bed pillow since I got this, that I own this property. And of course, as we all know, that didn't work that well. So they said, okay, well, how about if we keep another system where we take our deed and we give it to someone who has a safe in town, and we'll let them keep all of our deeds. That worked better. Until that building burned down and all the deeds were gone. And they said, okay, well, how about if we just keep a copy of them here in this safe, in this building in town, and you keep the original, and then if the building ever burns down, we can have a way of sort of reproducing them. And I was like, okay, well, that's a better idea. We can start doing that, and then as the towns grew, everything became a little more complicated, and people were selling. People were granting easements, and all of a sudden there was mortgages that were being done on the properties. And it was like, okay, now when I want to know, especially when I'm going to buy Joe's property, I need to know what Joe has already given away. So now I have to go and look up the history of all the transfers to see what easements and or other rights Joe gave away. Already, before he sold it to me, and it was sort of, well, one of those things that he did was Joe would write on the deed anything he had given away, which is sort of like what was considered a warranty deed. They listed all of the things on the deed, the easements or mortgages or anything else that had already been given away. There's a real trust factor in the owner then giving you all that information. So if you had to verify it, it was a lot of extra work. So it's like, okay, well, I'm going to pay somebody to go do this work for me. So that person that they started to hire started getting title, and they were called an abstractor. So they would pay an abstractor to go in and do this, and those abstractors are normally attorneys. So you're normally paying an attorney to go in and do this research for you. And of course, people didn't want to pay the attorneys, so then they started getting a side business where there were abstractors that would do it and that were very skilled in that particular procedure. And people were going, well, yeah, but they do make mistakes. So that And so we need something that it works differently. And so they, all the abstractors got together and said, okay, well, why don't we make an association, and we will ensure each other that if anybody makes a mistake, the rest of us will kick in money, and so that that abstractor doesn't go out of business just because he made one mistake. And they said, okay. Pretty soon they were funding that, and so what they had created was an insurance between themselves that a group of people would pay for the claims on just one person. And therein all of a sudden became a title company and a title insurance company. So now these abstractors had created title insurance companies to do this work, and that is our really our current then system is to hire a title insurance company to verify that the property you're getting is what you were being promise, and that's the last concept is, and so then so the title company, then you now pay that title company to give you, tell you what ownership is and whatever rights have been given away to somebody else, and then the title company said, I will make a list of those things. So that's the beginning of my speech to lead in to where title companies are and what they do for us, and not the headaches they give us. So that's enough for me. The next thing on our agenda is to.
We have a break.
I'm sorry, I'm going to read this. We have a break, and it's 15 minutes. Thank you.